Praise the Lord. Well, you can open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27. And I was sharing with you last week from this, and even the week before. I'd recommend you back and listen to the podcast of these, sharing the Lord as our shepherd, various things there, some of which are fresh revelation to me. But I'll read verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So there's two things he says about the sheep here. They hear his voice and they follow him. And actually there's two things he says relative to us, to him with us. He knows us. And in verse 28, he gives us eternal life. He knows us. As we follow him, he's in a position to bless us and pour out the blessing of eternal life, the blessings of God into our life. So I want to begin here with "my sheep hear my voice." In the beginning of chapter 10, where it says about the thief comes not to steal, kill, and destroy, he's not actually talking about Satan. He's talking about Pharisees and how they were trying to draw people after themselves, and you have people following them. And they would exploit the people for their own gain, their own benefit. And they would steal, kill, and destroy. But he said the sheep will follow him into the sheepfold, which they would go into in like an enclosed area at night and be there together as a flock. And the shepherd would lead them out in the daytime to pasture in going out. But he said, "My sheep know my voice." Back around verse 6, he said, "I'm the door to the sheep." You only become part of the flock through him. It's not something you can will. It's not something man wills. But it's only through him and our believing on him. But he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, hearing from God is vitally important. And all ministry begins with listening. Selah. If you want to minister to your wife, you need to listen to her. Listen to her heart, not listen to her commandments necessarily, but listen to her. You understand the context I'm saying that. You would hear that person. If you don't listen to someone, how do you even know what to speak to them? Oh, I just speak by the Spirit. All the time? Sometimes? Maybe not at all? What is it? So you have to learn to listen and to hear to be able to speak to something. Now, that's just a ministry principle I find for myself in speaking to you. I've spent hours upon hours waiting and just listening. Not me talking at God, but listening for him. And one of the things with hearing is you have to be in a position to hear where there's not so much other noise that you can't hear. Sometimes maybe we're riding in the car and Donna had the radio on. She'll start to talk and I'll say, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said." And we'll turn the radio down and I can hear her. But if that radio is at a certain level and there's music playing, I may not hear what she's saying. Or I may hear sort of part of it, but not all of it. You know, that can get you in trouble. When you only hear part of what somebody's saying, that's a prescription for trouble. And that includes you hearing from God. If you only hear part of what he's saying, the part you missed may get you in a lot of trouble. We need to hear precisely what he's saying. So there is the learning to position yourself in listening. Now, that being said, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's also quoted in a few other scriptures. And that fear of the Lord is respect. It's not, I'm afraid God's going to zap me and crush me and all that. It's not that at all. There are many words in Hebrew and Greek, especially Hebrew, that have multiple meanings. And the context of the use of that word enables you to know which meaning it is. And because of that, someone can just read the English translation and draw an absolutely wrong conclusion. Like thinking we need to be afraid God's going to have a fit of anger like a man would and strike you like a man would and hurt you like a man would. But that's not what it's talking about at all. But that word is the reverence or respect for God. Now here's the principle. You only really listen to who you respect or to someone you respect. If you lose respect, you don't pay attention to what they're saying. I understand this as a pastor. That's why in the scriptures addressing pastors says to live blameless and be above reproach. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But don't place yourself in a position for accusation and the loss of respect because you could preach and no one's listening. You know, there was an expression, John Maxwell wrote books on leadership, said that if you think you're leading and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. That one always stuck with me because you can have a position as a leader. That doesn't mean anyone's really following you. So respect, and what I'm going to focus on is respect and trust. They are the primary ingredients of all relationships, or the pillars of a relationship are respect and trust. Respect and trust both are earned. They're never deserved. They're earned. There are some things like a positional authority deserves respect, but you yourself and the words you would speak, you have to earn that. And that comes by way of your character, your integrity, your actions. As people watch you, you begin to earn that. I remember the first year I was pastoring, I read in a book on pastoring, and this guy said, generally takes people like 3 to 70 years to trust you. I thought, wow, I got a ways to go here yet. Because your assumption is, oh, because people say, oh, love you, I appreciate you, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean they trust you. That doesn't mean they respect you either. So we have to understand the use of words. Someone can be thankful for you as a person, but not necessarily have much respect for you. Therefore, they will not listen. If a parent loses the respect of their child, they stop listening. If you express anger at them to control them, they will not respect you, and therefore they'll not listen. And a parent can conclude, well, you're just a rebellious kid. You know, you need whooped. You consider maybe you created that. I remember when God revealed that to me, I was coaching our high school basketball, and there would be in practice sneakers squealing and balls bouncing, and there's a lot of noise, and I would be wanting to yell out its drills that I would want them to do. And I would have to raise my voice for them to hear it above the basketball and the sneakers. And I learned quickly there were some who this some of the boys, it was like a blockage. They unconsciously turned off my voice because I was raising my voice, and what God showed me, that's what their fathers did to them to control them. When no basketball is bouncing, no sneakers are squeaking. So they associated with that, and they just turned it off. That was a learning lesson for me at that point. And So, you know, you have to endeavor to earn that respect, which ultimately I did with them because I was consistent and taught them the word. And over the years, there were four different ones that backslid, got pulled into the world, repented, came back around, and all four of them said the same thing to me independently of each other. They said, because when you go into the world, the people you encounter are all cons. They'll lie and cheat and try and take advantage of one another. That's the way it is in the world. So you don't want to mess around with that. You'll get hurt. And all four of them said to me independently, "You told us the truth. I trust you. You're the only person I trust." I was kind of shocked at first. Then I'm here for like the fourth time, fourth different person. Now, all the while in high school, they didn't always like what all I did, but I was consistent. I did what I said I was going to do. Try to treat them with respect. I said, "I'm going to treat you with as much respect as I can. But if you act like a kid, I'm going to treat you like a kid. It's not because I want to, not because I'm angry. It's because you're making me do it. I'll treat you according to the level that you're going to rise up to. I'll show respect to you to the degree you'll show it." Now, if you don't have respect for others, think you're going to have it for God? I don't think so. Not much, anyway. So, respect is earned, and your listening is connected to the level of respect. I mean, really listening. You can hear my words and not remember a thing that was said. Nothing go into your spirit. Or you can hear those words and the Holy Spirit minister to you and something get imparted. And it's not about what I'm saying. It's the fact that you're hearing his voice through someone else. And you should expect that. If I'm your pastor, expect the Spirit of God to speak through me. I expect it. You should expect it. So it never happens. Well, it's probably because you don't expect it. Hopefully it's not because you don't respect me. Maybe you just don't have faith for it or expect it. But the Holy Spirit was given to speak to us. The Lord is our shepherd, and he assigned shepherds over the local flock to speak through the word through to the people. Ultimately, you have to own it and know that you've heard, ultimately. It's not for me to make anyone understand it or do anything other than, you know, within the work and have authority there. But what goes on in you, that's on you. But so you could have one time, 20 people say, "Wow, that was good. I was ministered to." And somebody else say, "I didn't get a thing out of it." So who's that on? It's on the hearers. It's on the hearer. Well, we need to hear from God. And for the Lord to be our shepherd and lead us and guide us, we need to hear his voice. Now, I shared with you Psalm 23:2. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's part of the ministry of the shepherd. Someone who has an excuse why they won't go to church. They are not listening to Jesus Christ as Lord and shepherd. They are not. I say that absolutely. They are not. It's self-deception. Because he will make you lie down. He will lead you that you can be fed. Why does he do that? Because the word of God is that important. And Jesus said so, that the kingdom of God's relative to the, like the parable of the sower, the word going into good soil. It's all hinged upon that. He will turn our heart toward him. That means to turn us like in a repentant. As you're being tempted to drift off, he'll turn you back. That's the conviction power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord as our shepherd will call to you, and you hear his voice because there is respect for the voice of the Spirit of God, and your heart will turn back, and he delivers you from impending destruction and doom because you heard his voice. When you don't hear at all, you never hear him calling you back. And when you understand this, you can understand the books of the prophets that throughout, the Spirit of God was calling Israel back. He wasn't like ticked off, mad at them. He was like pleading with them, come back to me, come back to me. Because if you don't, you're going to remove yourself from my hand of protection and blessing. And I love you. I don't want that to happen to you. Please come back. So the word repents you. That means turn around from the direction you're moving away from me and come back. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's John 16. I was sharing this more detail a couple of weeks ago. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it goes on to say he'll guide us in truth. And the third part of it is he will glorify, the Holy Spirit will glorify Christ, who's glorifying the Father. The glory of God. The Holy Spirit's always glorifying Christ. Always exalting him. He's not exalting man. He's always wanting to lead us in a right path. But we need to hear his voice. There may be some of you right now today as you sit here that you need a fresh word from God relative to direction. You need to hear his voice. And sometimes it means you have to shut down a lot of what you're doing. People take weeks for vacation and won't even take a day to sit, be still and fast and pray and know that he is God. That shows a real ignorance of what I'm talking about. I need to hear from God a whole lot more than I need a rest or have some pleasure. This whole thing was magnified for me in the last month or two, being in the hospital and not sleeping and up 24 hours, and practically anything I was doing was listening to worship and preaching and just laying there meditating. And when I finally came out of the brain fog, I'm back home. It's like revelation knowledge starts flowing into me. New visionary or expanded visionary things. The gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge and word of wisdom flowing. Vision, seeing people and seeing into their spirit what's going on in their life. This was happening more than it had for a few months. Needless to say, I was excited. And believe it or not, I still am. And my sense is, I mean, you'd be able to judge this better. There's even a stronger anointing on me to preach the word than ever. Glory to God. He gets all the praise. I'm not doing anything, just listening. Listening, 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 listening. I mean, I'll talk a little bit. Listen, 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 more than ever, because that's the only thing I can do. You know, certain strengths regained. I can't really run around, do a bunch of other stuff. Oh, it's glorious. I love it, man. Just to listen and all this stuff just coming. God wants that for you. I'm not any special, anything, whatever. I mean, he talks to me relative to what he's called me to do, but he talks to me about things that, it's personal as well. There's different times doctors say, well, we think this. And I say, no, I think this because God showed me. They didn't particularly like hearing that, but I didn't really care. They're going to tell me what they think. I'll tell them, no, I'm not doing that test. That's not the problem. And it'd be borne out later. I was right. You need to hear from God for your own family, for your own self, for what he's called you to do. Yes. There's nothing to replace that. And you can't go to someone else for advice and have them. Now, God could use that at times. But our approach needs to be, Lord, I need to hear from you, whatever it takes. I'm just encouraging you in that. He says, I know them. Now, the government knows my social security number. They probably know how much money I make every year. They probably know, you know, where I live. And hopefully they're not listening to this podcast. But I don't really care if they do or not. Maybe they get saved. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, knowing us. Not your name, rank, and serial number. But he's the God of the past, present, and future. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows everything about your past. The things that have happened all in your past have made you what you are today, whether it's fear, whether it's faith, whatever, what you've done, what you've experienced, what you lived, the negative things all need reconciled to the truth of the Word of God, lest they gain power over your soul. And when there's things that are not reconciled, then we carry these fears around. Some people all their life will carry like a fear of rejection, fear of failure, whatever, fear of spiders, whatever. Someone has a fear of spiders. You ask, why do you have a fear of spiders? Because one bit me. Why do you have a fear of bees? Because one stung me. Why do you have, you know, because of experience. And all experience needs reconciled to the truth. But what happens, it's like the fire that's burning. You don't see the kindling. We don't even know what's there. But the Lord is your shepherd does. He knows everything about you. He knows what's made you what you are, both the good and the bad. He knows what needs change. He knows where you need deliverance, where you need set free. And if you'll continue in the Word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. He knows all of that. He knows where you are right now. Are you deceived? Are you obeying Him? Are you following Him? He knows the present and He knows the future. You don't know your future. He does. And he must be our shepherd to lead us into our future. Because he knows what's best for you. There's times you think you know what's best for you. And it's not what's best for you. You could say, wow, I sure like an ice cream sundae. It's not what's best for you. Now, God's not going to strike you down if you eat it, but you do it every day. You might wish you hadn't someday. I'm just trying to illustrate. There's times we think we know what we need. We don't even really know what we need. We don't need to know. We don't know what we need to step into. We need Him leading and guiding us desperately. Desperately. He knows you. Some people say, well, nobody understands me. Doesn't matter. He does. He knows everything. He knows more about you than you know about you. It's nice if somebody understands us. We're created in the image of God, and we have a desire out of that to be understood. God wanted a family, that's us, believers, who know Him and understand His heart and value it. The people you will be closest to or feel closest is the person who understands you the most. This is why when Jesus, this used to bother me for a while, the revelation of it came. Jesus on the cross bestowed the care of His mother to John the Apostle rather than the cultural protocol is the next oldest brother would have been responsible to take care of Mary because Joseph was dead at that point. Joseph, husband of Mary, he was gone. Why did he do that? He said, John, behold your mother. Mary, behold your son. Because John understood Jesus more than anybody. That's why. It says in the Gospel of John three times, he referred to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. Now, we know God loves us all the same, but he loved John more. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. It's just not clearly expressed. He loves us all the same in wanting to bless us, but some relationships have greater value. And wherein it lies is the person that understands you the most. Now, ideally, if you're married, that should be your spouse. But many times it's not even the case. Because sometimes men and women don't understand each other too well. But there's a desire to be understood. And that's because we're made in the image of God. Okay, so He knows you. He understands you. He knows where you, and He knows you in light of the beginning to the end, and the end being the will of God being complete, and you standing before Him, hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. That's where He wants to take you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. they follow me. We hear his voice. We know that he's wiser concerning our life than we are. And we're going to follow him into our future and out of our past. Out of the past fears and bondages. Only he can lead us out. We'll follow him out from that. And we'll follow him into the perfect plan of God. That's the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I mentioned respect. You're only going to hear relative to respect. And you're only going to follow relative to trust. Yeah, it's very foolish just to do something because you trust man. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed is the man whose trust is in man, whose trust is in the arm of the flesh. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Some people don't trust anyone. You get hurt, trust is broken. You must forgive, and you must learn the principles that warrant trust. Trust is not an on off switch, all or nothing. But it's like 0 to 100. Some people I trust in a measure, but certain things in their character limit how much I can trust them. There was a certain president some years ago, I said I wouldn't trust him to lead my dog on a leash. You can guess who it is. I'm not going to tell you. But some people, because they're liars, and covenant breakers and everything else, they don't deserve any trust. Okay? But most people, you can extend some trust, and you need to know where that level is, and don't extend things beyond that, or you'll probably regret it. So as you watch people, you see their faithfulness, they're trustworthy, which is what faithful means, trustworthy. You can follow them, or in some cases release something to them, like you're an employer. You'll let them do the job, understanding the fact that they could mess up and cause like $10,000 of damage to a piece of equipment. You have somebody who's got three drunk driving arrest and reckless driving 5 times, and every other couple weeks you see they're totaling your car. You don't put them in charge of the $20,000 piece of equipment. You'd be a fool to do that. So trust is by degree or measure. And as we have trust, that's what creates a submission. Actually, respect and trust together create a submission that you can open yourself to receive from the Lord as our shepherd, or also to follow him. And in Ephesians 5:21, it says about being filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of God. To submit's not to blindly obey, it's to allow someone's influence. Again, John Maxwell, he defined leadership as influence. You'll let someone lead you because you respect them and because you trust them. If you believe someone's going to lead you off the end of the cliff, you're not going to follow them. Someone's going to lead you into destruction or hurt, you're not going to follow him. Now, what do you believe about the Lord? The degree you follow him says what you really believe. You can say what you want. People say, oh, I love God. Many people will say they love someone because of what they do for them. Many times I do pre-marriage counseling with some young couple and say, why do you want to marry them? And the answer is always the same. Well, we love each other. So I'll say, why? Why do you love them? And almost, I think there was maybe 1 or 2 exceptions over the years. And that's only because those individuals heard me teach this. They'll say, because they do this and do that and make me feel this way. And I feel this way, I feel good. And they do this and do that. So I'll follow them with another question and say, what's going to happen when they don't do that? Because the day will surely come, whether they can't, or they're too busy or distracted. What's going to happen when they can't do that? You still love them? And people will say, oh, I love the Lord. And they're thinking like this. Well, he prospers me. He blesses me. He gives me peace. He's doing something for me. But the fear of the Lord is having a respect on his character, not what he's doing for you. Thankfulness comes out of what someone's doing. But respect comes for their character and who they are. And the Lord said at verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And the word good there in the Greek is speaking to a high moral character or integrity. He's saying that I have the highest of character and integrity. And the evidence of it is the fact that I laid my life down, which is how we define love. I lay my life down is the evidence of it. Well, you can know that by an action, not just my words. Why do you love God? If you're not looking at who he is as creator, as Lord, as Savior, and respecting him for who he is. See, when you respect him for who he is, you'll listen to everything he's saying. If you're just looking at what he's doing for you, your approach will be, well, I'll pray to get something and be about my merry way. See, it's two completely different mindsets. You could say you love me, doesn't mean you respect me. Therefore, you won't really hear what I'm saying. I say, well, you bless me, you know, what have you. But if you learn to look at someone's character and the integrity they would walk in, so I respect them for who they are. And their actions bear witness to their words. Therefore, I'm going to open my heart. That doesn't mean I could never be wrong. Jesus is never wrong, but any person can be wrong. I heard Ed Cole say once, what constitutes a faithful man is not that you're never wrong, is that you'll make it right when you know you are wrong. I thought that was profound when he said that. That the faithful man will make it right when he knows he is wrong. Ladies, you'll pay the price if your husband makes a mistake. They're too scared to even say amen to that, but it's true. You all know it's true. People pay the price for the mistake of a leader. And you can develop a fear and a lack of trust. But understand this, if he'll humble himself, he'll make it right. If you're expecting him to be perfect, forget it. Go to heaven and just look at Jesus. Because no man is perfect. Any man can make a mistake. Any man could be deceived. Any man could sin. But will he humble himself? That's the issue. Or in his pride, is he going to deny it, make excuses, blame shift, get angry, and all the rest? Sounds like somebody whose face is in the news every day. I don't need to say any more. But that's what the flesh does. That's what the carnal man does. Spiritual man will humble himself. And I've told many people this already. If they humble themselves. I respect you more now than before you made this mistake. Before this temptation came. Because you did the greater thing. You humbled yourself to make it right. I trust you more. But the person that won't humble themselves, even if there's not obvious mistakes, you can't really trust them. Or I'll say it this way, that it's another cap. It's another limit on the amount of trust because, you know, in the humbling themselves, they'll make it right if they weren't right. Now, let's turn that back on ourselves now. Now, let's exhale. I don't have to be perfect. I just need to be humble. God hates pride. He gives grace to the humble. His grace will lift you up, says James 4:6. You can fall down. He can lift you right back up. But you're going to have to humble yourself. The failure to do that is what cuts people off. Okay. Well, the Lord said, my sheep will hear my voice. I know he knows what's best for you. He has a plan to lead you. But as we have respect and trust, we follow him. Now, Paul talked about following in Hebrews 13, 16, 17. He says about following the faith of the leaders. Now, someone can have a title of a leader. It doesn't mean they're a leader. If no one's following, you're not leading. And it says the end of their conversation or the result of how they live and how they walk, which is with Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as someone's walking with the Lord, and the Lord's positioning them to lead, to help us to lead, if they're following the Lord, you can follow after that. If they're following the flesh, well, you'd be wise not to. That doesn't mean you have to hate them or anything. Just don't follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. You have the illustration of sheep following other sheep right off a cliff. They're a dumb animal. Don't mean to be insulting, but we're compared to a dumb animal. Apart from the shepherd, we're capable of doing that. Just following right after others. Well, praise the Lord, we have a good shepherd, which means of the highest quality of character, which was expressed in his laying down his life for us, whereby we could have eternal life. We merely need to hear, believe, obey. It all hinges back on the respect and the trust. Again, you lose that, you don't have anything. You can be with somebody and not really have a relationship. But the pillars that hold it all up is respect and trust. And he's worthy of both of them. If you can't trust the Lord, how can you trust a man? I mean, really. He's perfect. He completely gave his life for us. We'll trust him.